you were really connecting with God, then just hold on. We're going to connect with God just again, just now. Thank you, Ben. You can also quickly have a seat. Perhaps not going to be too long before we're going to worship again. It's just a reminder in worship now. Came back from Kenya yesterday. We went on an outreach. Manus and myself and the Tanzania team, we got them in Tanzania, and then we went to Kenya, and we had a whole lot of pastors that we ministered to, and especially in Tanzania and Kenya. But especially in Kenya, we had a group of people, and for those of you that know, you know, Kenyans and Tanzanians and, you know, most African people, they're very, very excited and passionate and sometimes very loud. The guys will tell you they're very loud. So at the One Pastors Conference, we were sitting, and the head pastor came and he just introduced us. And then there were a whole bunch of visiting pastors from all over. So he invited them one by one just to come and introduce themselves and to talk about their ministry. So one by one, they came up and they told about the ministry and what God is doing and, you know, all the amazing things. It was all cool. But then one lady came up, a lady pastor, and she took the mic, and she didn't say anything about her ministry. She didn't say anything about, you know, just what she's getting involved in and anointing on her life or anything like that. She just said, "I'm in love with Jesus. I'm passionate about Jesus." And then she just said, "No, but she so appreciates what Jesus has done in her life." And I thought that, wow, that's great. You know, to her, the first thing that comes to mind is when someone asks her about herself is to say, "I love Jesus." That is her first response. And I thought, wow, she's got an identity in Christ. That's what it means to have identity in Christ. So I want to actually ask you tonight, do you love Jesus? Do you passionately love Him with everything that you've got? And I actually want to speak about that tonight. For those of you that got the newsflash and were maybe expecting Jan Kort to stand here, Jan Kort can unfortunately not make it. He's at table view tonight. So if you were wondering where my Kemu's accent, English accent is, I'm unfortunately not going to do that. Some of you need to figure out where Kemu's is. It's in the Northern Cape. It's a place where they don't really speak English. So Jan Kort can unfortunately not be here. And Tien Spo from Tableview was going to preach. And this morning in the morning service, I was just experiencing God. And God just spoke so clearly, just His heart towards us and His heart towards us as a church and His heart for worship. And for us really to connect with Him. So God just gave me a download of just a couple of thoughts and principles I want to share with us tonight. So I didn't prepare any slides. But I have prepared some scriptures. So those of you that have your Bibles, why don't you take out your Bibles, nice and old school. I want to really encourage you guys to bring your Bibles to church. I know it's a culture that we sort of, you know, gotten used to having slides. But tonight we're going to have the Word open. But I really want to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. Because God wants to speak to us through His Word. Especially in worship. I want to talk about God sharing His heart in church. God sharing His heart in worship. Because worship is not just a thing that we do. Worship is engaging with God. Worship is connecting with Him. It's not a one-way thing. It's a conversation. So God really wants to speak to us. And impart His heart to us. And I'm trusting for God to change something in our midst and in our individual lives. But also, us as a corporate, where we're really open for Him to speak to us and minister. And I'm trusting for what I believe is a gift that God has given me just over the years doing missions. I was just so amazed again how faithful God is to share His heart. You know, going on mission, sometimes, you know, you get 5 minutes to prepare a message, you know, because you didn't know you're gonna preach or you didn't know something's going to happen. And then God's so faithful. He just gives you a download and shares His heart with the people. And then, you know, it's so much more blessed than you going and sitting down and preparing a well worked out sort of message, and obviously there's a place for that. I'm not knocking that, but what I'm saying is there's ability for us to connect into God. That is something that Christ spoke about, but it's something beyond this world. And I'm trusting for paradigms to be shaken, because you know you can come and worship, and we can come to church and not even have a sermon, because God can come and speak to us in the worship. And this is a practical message, because we're going to stop and we're going to worship, and we're actually going to connect with God. And like this morning, God gave me a complete download of the message. You know, I actually had to go and look up the scriptures that the Lord gave me in the worship. But He gave me a download, and He wants to do the same for you every time you enter into His presence. Maybe not a sermon, maybe it's just a word of encouragement to yourself. But at the end of the service, I want to sort of just put the practicalities out there. But I want us to worship and to connect into Jesus. And we're going to have 10 people coming to share. The first 10 are going to share what did they experience. What is the download that they received? You know, exactly what Jesus said. We're going to end off with that. But Jesus said, "You are the branches." Say, "I am a branch." And Jesus says, "He's the vine." Thanks, Clingy. Wonderful. Thanks for your enthusiasm. That's great. Clingy's ready. We can just go and worship. Clingy will be in there. So, Matthew chapter 16. It's the first scripture I'm going to read from. Well, I'm going to read selectively. So just follow there around chapter 16 and 17. I'm just going to go and explain them. But the devil is a liar. Did you know that? He's a liar, and he lies. And the problem, and it sounds very simple, very basic, but the problem is we believe it. We believe a lot of lies. And coming from Kenya, where life is very simple. It's very simplistic. There's not, you know, I was so struck yesterday coming back on the airport. You know, who of you knows Africa time? You know, everyone knows Africa time, but everything's so chilled. You know, you get to a service and you're supposed to start at 9 o'clock, but then you eventually start at 10:30, you know, and then, you know, service goes on for like 5-6 hours, but no one's in a rush. Everyone's chilled, everyone's relaxed, you know, and then you get to Johannesburg Airport. The moment you get out of the airport, you get bombarded by information. You know, and I was so struck because, you know, I went to Kenya and I heard God's voice so clearly, and I was so relaxed. It took me a couple of days, actually, but I was in the rest of God. And some of you are going to get into the rest of God tonight, where you're going to not be rushed, and you're not going to be, so consumed by so many thoughts and distractions and fears and lies. Because that's what I really believe. You know, the moment I walked in Johannesburg Airport, I was bombarded by information, and I had to stop myself and say, "But listen, just focus a bit. Don't, you know, because you see the news flashes and this marketing, and eventually your meditation is completely on what the market has wanted you to think about. You're not in God's rest. You know, you're not in, you know, where He wants us." And I really believe that when we come into such a rest, you know, because I preached about 5, 6, 7 sermons that I hadn't prepared the last week. But you know what? I'm actually refreshed. Coming back, I'm standing here preaching already. I wasn't supposed to preach. And I'm so refreshed, and that's the rest of God, where you actually might be busy, but you're not tired. You know, you're connected into Him. He's the source. So I'm trusting that we're going to all tonight come into that place. We're in the rest. And into Him. He's the source. He gives us a download of Him. His strength, His heart, who He is. So let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Jesus with His disciples. First of all, we're going to look at how Jesus takes His disciples, three of His disciples, takes them up the mountain. Mountain is a place of worship. Mountain is a place of connecting with God. A mountain is a place of perception. Where you see things differently, you look at life and suddenly you're not consumed with circumstances and issues and emotions, but you're elevated and you can see clearly, you can see from bird's eye view. That is what a mountain resembles. But before Jesus takes His disciples on the mountain, He talks about the cross. He tells his disciples, listen, I need to suffer. And he starts sharing with his disciples what he needs to go through. You know, it's an amazing time where he prophesies. He says, this is what's going to happen. You know, and then all of a sudden Peter says, no, but Jesus, you can't do that. You know, you can't go and suffer. You see, he bought into a lie. And look what Jesus says to him. Verse 23 of chapter 16, he says, get behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get behind me, Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Okay, so he says, get behind me, Satan. But then he says, you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So and now you're sticking to Peter. Because if you think about it, Satan is not mindful of the things of men. He'll be mindful about his things. But he says, you are mindful of the things of men. So now he's speaking to Peter. So you see, Peter has bought into a lie. That the enemy has so got him to buy into this lie that he's convinced that he's doing people a favor. He's doing himself a favor. So you see, he's bought into a lie. Do you see that? And therefore, Jesus had to rebuke him. Okay, so that's what happens there. That's the scene right before they go up the mountain, and Jesus talks about the cross and what he's about to do. And then it says, verse 28, it says, Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay, some of you, other translation says his glory. Some of you will see his glory before I come back. And he's talking about what they're about to experience. And it says, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Okay, we're going to talk about mountains. How Jesus and God takes people up mountains. And he often does it in Scripture. If you look at Moses, when he got the Ten Commandments, God took him up a mountain. A lot of significant things. In fact, a lot of God's great guys, he took them up a mountain to experience him. Moses, the first time with a burning bush, had an encounter with God on a mountain. You know, lots of places. Abram had to offer his son Isaac up on a mountain. He had to climb a mountain. So very many places God does that. And we're going to talk about that later again. But it says that Jesus didn't take all 12 disciples. He took 3 disciples. Isn't that interesting? So Jesus actually, he takes his inner circle. You know, we always think, you know, 12 disciples were the closest people to Jesus. But no, Jesus had 3 guys that were closer to him. They were the inward circle. Then there was the 12. And then there was the 72. So Jesus had people that were closer to him. And I find this really funny because if I look at those 3 disciples, those are the 3 most unlikely ones to be in Jesus' inner circle. You know, firstly, if you think of Peter, you know, Peter made so many mistakes. He did so many wrong things. You know, we just saw the scripture, you know, Jesus rebukes him and calls him Satan. How much worse can you do? You know, he did a lot of wrong stuff. You know, James and John, they were the sons of Zebedee. Remember, at a point, Jesus was standing on the side, so they snuck up to Jesus, said, Jesus, you know, maybe we can sit on your throne. You know, can we maybe sit one on the right hand, one on the left hand? You know, you see, they figured Jesus is, you know, he's quite a, you know, high up guy. And he's probably got a massive throne in heaven, so maybe we can score a deal here. If we quickly organize, you know, me to sit on the right and him to the left, you know, we can strike it. And then there was like a big argument between the other disciples because, you know, these two, you know, so you see these guys made lots of mistakes. So Jesus didn't have an expectation of perfection. Did you know that? God doesn't want us to be perfect. He actually doesn't choose us because of our ability or what we can bring or even how many right things we've done versus wrong stuff. But you know what? God chooses worshippers. He chooses people that worship Him. And that's what we're talking about tonight. What does it mean to be a worshipper? So, he takes these 3 guys, Peter, James, and John, and they go up the mountain. Verse 2 says, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. So here they have a massive encounter with Jesus. They're on the mountain and Jesus begins to suddenly transform. He begins to reveal his glory to these three guys. And suddenly, the Bible says that Moses appeared and Elijah appeared and they were standing with Jesus and talking. Now Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. So now these three are standing, they're talking. Peter gets all excited. He thinks, wow, this is quite a cool experience. You know, let's see, well, what can we do to extend this thing? So he says, Jesus, let's build a couple of tabernacles here. I'll build you three houses, and then you guys can stay in these houses. So he sort of, you know, he wants to extend, because this is such a cool experience. He wants to, you know, I don't know if you would do that. I would also, you know, if I had Moses, you know, and Elijah. And if you think about it, you know, why did he choose Moses and Elijah? And yes, they represented the law and the prophets. But if you think about it, who were the two guys that did not die, that went up to heaven? Moses and Elijah. So you can imagine those two guys at that time, they probably had long beards. You know, because they were like, you know, there for a couple of thousand years. But in any case, so Peter enjoys this experience so much, he says, let's build a tabernacle. Let's build you guys a tabernacle and we stay. So what happens right after that? God sends a cloud. It wasn't a cloud, it was a protection, because he sent his glory into that place. The cloud was just to protect them. Sent the cloud in, and then he spoke with his voice, God the Father now. And he said, in the context of Moses and Elijah standing there, he says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. In other words, don't listen to Moses, don't listen to Elijah. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, but now listen to my son. So what happened there is right then and there, Jesus instituted the new covenant. The covenant that we are so privileged to be a part of today. We can freely worship God. We can freely come anytime, access him. We're going to see just now, but Jesus, when he comes to the Samaritan woman, he says to her, you worship me on a mountain or in a temple, but I tell you this, there will be a time where people can worship me from wherever, whenever. That is true worship. When we, not just in a service like this, connect with God, but everywhere. You know, everywhere connect into him and him as the source. And anywhere get a download of his heart and who he is. You know, in your workplace, in whatever environment, studies, wherever God wants you to access him. And that's the beauty of what Christ came to purchase. But if you think about it, if you think, you know, completely how the New Testament, how we've got the scriptures today, God had to almost release the new covenant. He had to sort of give and count it to people so that they can know, okay, now a new dispensation has started. So they had the cross and they knew that Jesus had risen, but they didn't know that something new had been established. So God had to take three guys, take them out on a mountain, have an experience with them so that they can see, okay, we're not listening to Moses now. We're not listening to Elijah. Yes, Jesus is the fulfillment of those, but now we're listening to Jesus. Now we're listening to Christ. And you're going to get what I'm getting at just now. But verse 8 says, so verse 7 says, but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid, because now God spoke and they were trembling. You know, they're already a bit panicky now, but God then spoke from the heavens. So they had an encounter with God and they were frightened. So Jesus speaks peace to them. He says, arise, do not be afraid. Verse 8 says, when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? When they lifted up their eyes, they only saw Jesus. And that to me is the essence of worship. It's a place where we get where everything is still. It's quiet. There's no distractions, no other voices, no fears. We're only embracing encounter with Christ. We're only seeing him. And that's what worship is. That's the heart of worship. That's why we come and we do this. is so that we can behold Christ. Because you know what? When you see Christ, you become like Christ. When you behold His glory, the Bible says that we become like Him. When we see Christ, really. So that's really when we encounter God. It's not an emotional experience. It's a life-changing experience. And every time we worship, it's supposed to be a life-changing experience. And I'm not trying to psych us up, but I'm trying to just connect us to the heart of God. Of how we come to worship, we see Him. We want to see Him. We hunger for Him. That's what we did a month ago. We took a whole day off and said, Lord, we hunger for You. We just want to see You. We want to connect into You. But tonight I want to get us to a place. I'm trusting God. I believe it wants us to come to a place where we receive from Him. And we don't just worship out of, this is now what we do before a sermon. But that's the focus of why we come to church, is to connect with Him. If the sermon happens, that's great. God's word needs to be preached. That's important. But the focus of why we come to church is to give to God, to connect with Him. Amen. Are you guys excited? We're going to worship just now. The second scripture is John chapter 4. Now John, I'm going to read two scriptures in John. John was one of the disciples that was in Jesus' inner circle. Jesus called him the beloved disciple. In fact, he called himself the beloved disciple in his own gospel. If you look at the description of John, you would always find him close to Jesus. The one scripture, it says that he laid on Jesus' breast. So he had such an intimate place with Jesus. And he loved Jesus much. Jesus loved him much. Because he had a capacity to receive from God. But look at what it says. Sorry, I'm in Luke. Wrong gospel. Luke chapter 4. So Jesus comes to the woman at the well. And he says, in verse 11, he says, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, but you have not received our witness. Sorry, wrong scripture. That's chapter 3. I'll get there just now. Okay, verse 21. I'm there. Of chapter 4. No, I'm in John. John. Sorry, Clingy. Sorry. I was confused, but I'm back again. I'm with it. John 4:21. Are you guys there? You guys are taking cell phones. We're getting the word on the phone. Okay. John chapter 4:21. Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, see the mountain again, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, quick question. What sort of people is God looking for? Worshippers. Have you ever thought about that? What sort of person does God like? You know, if you had to think of, you know, your friends or people that you look up to, or you know, people that you esteem, what sort of person does God esteem? What sort of person does God like? What sort of person attracts, you know, is He attracted to? And there Jesus gives us the answer. He says He's seeking worshippers. Those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, what is the truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. So the truth is not a set of rules or a ritual or even a doctrine. But truth is Jesus Christ Himself. So we worship God through Jesus. We worship Him in truth. The truth and the reality of who He is. And what He has done for us in the salvation that He has given us. And spirit is a place where, you know, you can only truly worship God if you have been born of the Spirit. You cannot worship God in spirit. If God hasn't come, as the previous chapter says in verse chapter 3, if God has not birthed us, you see in this, we come into this world with soul and body, but our spirits are dead because of the fall. But through Christ, through Jesus' work, He renews our spirit so much to a place where we can access God. God is spirit, the word says. So we must therefore worship Him in spirit and truth. The only way that we can connect to God is on a spiritual level, because He is spirit. So we must worship in spirit and in truth. So Jesus says that is what He's looking for. He's looking for people that would access Him. Any place, any time. Isn't that exciting? You know, right now, right where you're sitting, you can bow your head, close your eyes, and connect with God. You can worship Him. You can hear from Him. You can get direction. You know, you can hear His heart and hear His will for every moment. You know, I'm not saying tonight that we come to God to just receive something. By no means. We come to God to give Him glory. To worship Him, to get our focus on Him. Because when we come to that place, as the previous scripture says, where we see only Christ, then we receive something from Him. We see Him. We have an encounter that transforms us and gives us life. So after this final scripture, before we're going to worship, we're going to just focus. We're going to come to that place where we see only Christ. But I would like to ask us to really, really, you know, focus on Christ and allow the distractions, because the Holy Spirit's faithful in taking away distractions so we can only see Christ. But to really connect into Him where we hear something of His heart. Are you guys ready to do that? Okay, final scripture, and then we can connect into God. It's in John chapter 15. Jesus says, and I referred to it a bit earlier, John chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing." Okay, so now it's very interesting. If you look at it, it's John chapter 15, chapter 16 and 17. Jesus begins to pray for Himself, and then His disciples, and then for all believers. So, and then He goes to the cross. So this is the last time that Jesus speaks to His disciples. In other words, it's His last message to His disciples. He talks about the Holy Spirit, and then He says to them, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Now, I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, I don't think, you know, Christ would, of course, say the most important thing, right, before He goes. So, He says to this to His disciples, and what He's saying, if you think about it, if you think of a vine, and you think of branches, remember we said we're branches. Jesus is the vine. In other words, He's the source of life. We are the branches, and we must be connected into Him. Isn't that amazing? We can be connected to the source. Not through something or through someone or through some system, but can connect directly into the source. So there's a life flow, and we are conduits of that life. We are vessels to the life of God that He wants to flow through us, and we can connect into Him. Isn't that exciting? So Jesus says with His disciples, He sits with them, He realizes, "I'm leaving." He says to them, "It's better for me to go so that the Holy Spirit can come and He can reveal Himself to you." So what is He saying to them? He says, "You can now function without me because you can tap into me. You can connect into me. You can connect into my heart, and you can connect into my power, and you can connect into who I am. You can receive a download." So when Peter stands up after Jesus has been crucified, God gives him a download. He begins to share. You know, he didn't prepare a message. The Holy Spirit just came upon him and he ministered. 3,000 people responded because he was connected into Christ. Amen. Thanks, Slim. But One of the most beautiful things to me as a believer is to see someone really connecting to God. That is amazing. When I see someone and they're not concerned about the person next to them, they're not concerned about what people think. They're just there. They see God. Forget about anything else. Seeing just Christ. Christ and Him only. It's one of the most beautiful things that we can see in this earth. Is someone connecting and tapping into God. And I remember when I came to Christ, you know, and for a lot of us, it starts off with you experiencing God. You come to a service and suddenly there's the presence of God. Or suddenly you experience His love. You know, and it's experience. And you come to church again and you experience Him again. You know, and then you go from maybe to small group and you experience Him there. You know, it's all these experiences. But then I remember at a point I saw someone connecting to God. And I remember thinking, wow, I can do that. You know, can I do that? You know, someone is connecting to God and I could see it's real. You know, it's like I said that with the lady in Kenya that said she loves Jesus. I could see it's real. You know, it wasn't just words that she's saying to sound cool. It was real. She said, I love Jesus. I love Him because He's forgiven me so much. You know, and I remember seeing someone connecting with God and I thought, wow, that's cool. I want to do that. You know, and I started in worship. I started just doing practical things. You know, I came from a very strict or formalistic worship background. So, you know, I would come in a service and I would stand. I would sing in the songs, tap my hands here and there. And slowly, I began to raise my hands. I began to connect into God. It's not just about raising hands. But it's about being open to God. Because, you know, sometimes God would ask you to do some other things. Maybe dancing, you know, maybe grabbing one of His flags. I was about to say it hasn't happened to me, but it has. Sometimes God requires something, but it's a place where we open to the Holy Spirit, where we connect into God. We connect into Him. And He gives us a download. And the great, amazing thing is, you know, and often, you know, we in church, we think minimalistic. We come to church and we think, okay, I'm going to get a little fix and go back to life. You know, and then come back next Sunday and then. But I want to say to you that there's so much more. God is into abundance. Did you know that? He always gives us more than enough. You know, He makes your cup flow over. He doesn't just fill your cup, but He fills it and it, you know, pours over. That is God. He's a giver. He gives us so much, everything that we need and more. You know, but He gives us more so that we can give, become givers like Him. He wants us to be like Him. So that's really the heart why we're connecting into the source, is so that we can be a conduit of His goodness. So I'm really trusting tonight that when we worship now, that something shifts in our hearts. And we don't just come to receive a little, but that we become conduits. Branches that brings life. That we have leaves and fruit that come from us. That's what Jesus says. When you connect into Him, fruit will come. You'll see fruit. You know? Things that have tangible value in this world. You know, so our worship, I'm trusting, is going to change. Where, you know, we don't open up the mic for, you know, just a word here or there, someone that's sharing something, but that we have 10 people standing here at every service saying, this is what God has on His heart. You know, and of course we'll have a safe place where you can, you know, test your word. You know, and Leanna or maybe Manus or someone will stand here and say, okay, but this is how God is flowing tonight. Because whatever God says, He will confirm. The Bible says that there will be two or three witnesses that will confirm something. So we must actually have 10 people coming up so that we can see where is God's heart. Because someone gets this side of the picture, the other person gets that side, and someone gets this part. And then eventually we see this full picture of what God is saying to us. You know, and I want to trust that we, you know, I know a lot of you are connecting into God, hearing what He's saying, but then you're stopping there. You know, and then there's a boldness that's going to come. When we hear what God is saying, and we realize that, you know, because often we wait. We see, if someone's going to share what I'm saying, I'm going to go up. But you've got the other part of the picture. You know, and we must trust that God gives us the full picture of what He is saying. Amen? Amen. So we're going to trust God. We're going to connect into have a download. And then we're going to have some share time. We're going to just open up the mic. And tonight specifically, even if it's a personal thing, but we're going to have 10 people sharing what has God said to them. Is that all right? Are you guys ready? Ben, if you can come up. And we're going to just connect into Him. Won't you stand with me? And I want you to just say to God, like that lady said, I love Jesus very much. I love Him. It was so simplistic. I thought, firstly thought, well, you know, why is she saying this? You know, it's a bit out of place. But then I saw it's really coming from the heart. So, where you standing, why don't you just open up your heart to God? Say, Lord, I really love You. Or maybe you're here tonight and you don't, that's not the first emotion that registers. That's not the first response that registers. And that's fine. Then for you, you need to be honest with God. You need to say, God, I don't feel like connecting to You. I don't feel like worshiping even. I'm just here and, you know, just be honest with Him. Because when you're honest, then God can really change you. I remember when I came to Christ, it was the moment that I became honest with myself. The moment that I said to myself, listen, your life is in a mess. I remember sitting on the corner of a road. I was half drunk, but I sat there and I said, Lord, I don't even pray. I just spoke. I was fed up. And I just said, God, my life is in a mess. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even pray a proper prayer, but I was just honest. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, my life was transformed. I connected into God. He came and He changed me. I received His love. I experienced His love, but it was in a moment of honesty. And that is all God is looking for. He's looking for honest Peters. Peters and James and Johns that's messed up so much. They've done so much wrong. They've made so many mistakes. They've even been hurt by Jesus Himself because they've done wrong things. They've been corrected by Jesus. But I believe that Jesus is calling us as worshippers tonight to connect into Him. While every eye is closed and before we worship, I want to make it just an invitation. If you know you need to be honest with God tonight and say, Lord, I don't want to worship, but I want to connect, but I want to. I don't feel like it, but I want to. I want to connect into You. I want to know You. I want to have a relationship with You. Then I want to ask you to be very bold and to make the decision that I made about 8 years ago when I said, Lord, I surrender. I become honest and I want to know You. And maybe to you it's very foreign tonight that someone can hear God's voice in a real way. Then that invitation is for you to know Christ. I want to ask you if that's you and you want to connect into God. Maybe your relationship with Him is not right. Or maybe you experience Him in a religious way, but He wants to experience you with life. Life in abundance. And I want you to just put up your hand where you're standing. Say, Lord, I want to respond to You. Thank You for that hand. Is there anyone else that wants to say, Lord, change my life? Come into my life. Change me, Lord. Change my heart. I want to have a relationship with You. As I should. Not just the experience. Not just the religious experience, but to know You. To connect into You. Is there anyone else? Just be very bold. Your heart would be tugging right now because that's the Holy Spirit calling you. God calling you. Just respond to Him. Say, Lord, I come to You. I want to ask that man to quickly come to the front. Let's just give him a hand. Let's just, before we worship, just stretch out our hands to Him and just bless Him. Father, we thank You for Your presence for this man. We thank You, Lord, that Lord, tonight he can just return to You and come to You in his heart and his heart be changed by You, Father. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You come and transform his heart right now, Father, and You come to change him. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would just come and fill him, flood him with Your presence, Lord. Thank you for streams of living waters that flow from His innermost being, Lord, welling up into eternal life. Thank you that tonight He can connect into you as the source, Father, and that you come and transform and change Him and make Him into a new being, Father. Thank you, Lord, that the old is gone, but the new has come. Thank you, Lord, that you make Him into a new creation. In Jesus' name. Won't you just remain here? Let's come before God. Let's just be honest with Him. Bring your hearts to Him. And say, Lord, we want to worship You. Father, we glorify You. Jesus, we magnify You. We lift You up. And we pray, Jesus, that You would come and connect us into the Father. That the Father is the vine dresser, and that the Father would connect us into Jesus now. That we would bear fruit, and that our fruit may remain. We thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your goodness, and we lift You up, Lord. We worship You.